Good evening and welcome to this live telephone town hall. Right now we are dialing out to tens of thousands of homes in the area, and on this telephone town hall tonight we're going to be answering your questions live. Our speakers will be joining us in just a moment, but first I want to tell you how you can participate in tonight's telephone town hall. You can simply press zero on your keypad if you have a question. You'll be placed in a queue and our operators will then assist you in asking our speakers the question. You will have a chance to ask questions, and we will get to as many as we possibly can tonight in the time we have available. Again, that's just press zero if you have a question, and we'll bring you live on the air. If you do have a question but you don't want to go live, you can also just let your operator know, and we can read the question for you, whatever's most comfortable for you. We've had some new friends and neighbors join us, so I'm going to repeat these instructions before we turn it over to our speakers who are standing by. We'd like to welcome everyone to this live telephone town hall as we dial out to tens of thousands of homes in the area. On this telephone town hall, we're going to be answering your questions live. Our speakers are here and standing by, and I'll turn the call over to them in just a moment, but I just want to let you know how you can participate in tonight's telephone town hall. If you have a question, you can press zero on your keypad at any time. Press zero on your keypad if you have a question. You'll be placed in a queue, and our operators will then assist you in asking your question. Our speakers are going to answer as many questions as they possibly can tonight in the time we have available. And if by chance you have a question but you're not comfortable going live on the air, you can just let your operator know, and we can read the question for you, really whatever's most comfortable for you. We have great speakers here, Senator Lindsey Williams, Senator Judy Schenck, Representative Joanna McClinton, and Representative Sarah Inamorato. Are going to be here. They're going to be answering your questions. So just another reminder that you can press zero at any time if you have a question. I'll now turn it over to our legislators to give some opening remarks, and we'll start with Senator Williams and then Senator Judy Schenck, followed by Representative McClinton and Representative Inamorato. We will start with Senator Williams. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm State Senator Lindsey Williams. I represent Allegheny County. My district is a little bit of the city of Pittsburgh, the North Hills, and the Allakiske Valley. I currently serve as Minority Chair of the Community Economic and Recreational Development Committee. I also serve on the Labor, Education, State Government, and Veterans Affairs and Emergency Preparedness Committee. I'm really looking forward to tonight's conversation. You know, this is a very scary time for all of us. But I do truly in my heart believe that if we work together, we can ensure our own well-being through this outbreak, that we can take care of our neighbors' health, that we can make sure that our workers that are on the front lines have the personal protective equipment for them, that we ensure that our businesses come out of this and that people can get back to work safely. So I look forward to your questions, and thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. This is State Senator Judy Schwenk, and I am so pleased to be with you tonight. I'm looking forward to the questions as well. I represent a part, the heart, I like to say, of Berks County. And Berks County is between Harrisburg and Philadelphia. So I'm on the eastern side of the Commonwealth, but I have a lot of rural area and a lot of agriculture in my community. And I represent the city of Reading, which is a very diverse city. So what do I do in the Senate? I serve as Minority Vice Chair of the Appropriations Committee. I also serve as Minority Chair of the State Ag and Rural Affairs Committee. I serve on Health and Human Services. I serve on Game and Fisheries Committee. I also am a governor on the PASHI, or the State System Board. So I have a lot of diverse roles. And, you know, I'm so happy to be on this tonight because I think this is an opportunity for us to learn more about what's going on throughout the state, you know, and how we get through this together. Not all of us are experiencing this pandemic equally, and yet there are ways we can work together to overcome this. So looking forward to having that discussion.
Hello, everyone. This is State Rep. Joanna McClinton. I am truly blessed and grateful to serve my neighbors in West and Southwest Philly, along with neighbors in Lower Delaware County, both in Yaden and Darby boroughs. I have been serving my neighbors for about 5 years, and as Senator Schwenk just said, we have a very diverse state, a very diverse commonwealth, and the way this pandemic is playing out, it's showing that it's happening at higher rates in certain areas, and I serve one of the areas that has been heavily hit, so I look forward to hearing from neighbors from across the commonwealth to get your ideas, your suggestions. We have been in the legislature, most of us remotely every week, working hard on your behalf, and we need to hear your voices tonight so that we can know which direction is best for us to go in. So many of us may personally know or have heard of someone or seen someone on Facebook who's passed away from this virus, and it is very disheartening. But even in a difficult, tough time and a rough season in our state, I'm grateful that we have this moment to speak together, because we know that even in this, we're going to get past it, we're going to get through it, but we're not going to do it alone. We're going to do it together and with your voices and your ideas. So thank you all for calling. I appreciate it and look forward to the discussion.
Good evening, everyone. I'm State Representative Sarah Innamorato. I represent Pittsburgh and parts of northern Allegheny County along the Allegheny River. My committees, I serve on Urban Affairs, Transportation, and Health. I love serving on those committees because they're all deeply, deeply interconnected. I'm also active on the HOPE Caucus, which is a group of legislators that are dedicated to finding compassionate solutions for the opioid epidemic. And I'm one of the co-founders of the Welcoming Pennsylvania Caucus, which focuses on immigrant justice and creating a welcoming Pennsylvania for us all. Back here at home, I serve on the Allegheny County Housing Authority Board and the Pittsburgh Citywide Task Force on Employee Ownership. And I just want to express my gratitude for all of you taking time out of your evening to participate in this call. This is what democracy is all about. This is what co-governing is. It's hearing from the people that we represent and taking those stories back with us when we are making decisions in Harrisburg. So I just want to express my gratitude to each and every one of you for your active participation this evening.
So tonight's event would not be possible without partnering with the great organization called SIX. It's the State Innovation Exchange, and their Pennsylvania State Director, Nikki Liu, is on the line with us. SIX is a national nonprofit organization, and it helps state assembly members across the country work towards smarter, more strategic governance strategies in all 50 states. Nikki will be our moderator tonight. Thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us.
Thank you, Brett McClinton, and welcome to all of our legislators, and welcome to Pennsylvanians from across the country. From across the state. I can see that we currently have over 10,000 Pennsylvanians on the line, so thank you all for joining us and for being here. As Brett McClinton said, the State Innovation Exchange is a national partner working here in Pennsylvania to help drive progressive change in Harrisburg. We partner with state assembly members in all 50 states to help move pro-worker, pro-working family policies that help protect our democracy and elevate the needs of working families and fight for a fair economy. So I want to just say one more time, thanks to everybody who's on the line, and thank you to Rep. McClinton, Rep. Innamorato, Senator Schwenk, and Senator Williams for partnering with us tonight to make sure that we can actually provide the information necessary to Pennsylvanians in every corner of the state on what's happening around the coronavirus crisis right now and what you all are doing in Harrisburg to fight for working families and to put working families first while others may be trying to put other special interests like those of corporations first. So we're going to hear a little bit about that tonight. I want to start us off with a question that came in from social media before the call. We want to ask Representative McClinton and Rep. and Senator Lindsey Williams to give a brief update on what the House and the Senate caucuses have been doing in session over the last few weeks.
Absolutely, Nikki. Thank you for that question that came through on social media. So as I said in my intro, we have been at work just about every week since this has began in March, since we've had to stay at home, since we've been ordered to isolate. One of the first things that we did was ensure children will be able to complete the school year. Pennsylvania law requires that children attend schools for 180 days in person. But the first thing we did was ensure that there would be a waiver for this school year so that children could attend school remotely. And if the 180 days would not be satisfied, which now, weeks later, we know will not be satisfied, that our children will not be left behind, that they won't be held back in the same grade, that they'll also be able to access their education online. We got a lot of money passed through both the Senate, the House, and went to the governor so that all the school districts across the state will be able to either lend students equipment and internet access or purchase it for their homes so that our students can stay connected. And our children, of course, are adjusting to this the same way as adults are. So while many of us are not going to work like we want and like we need to, our children are also adjusting to being home all the time. But we look forward to them continuing their educational pursuits even though they're in the house, safe and quarantining.
And yes, this is Senator Lindsey Williams. In the Senate, we've been doing a lot of that same work that Representative McClintock talked about. Myself and my colleagues in the Senate have been busy drafting and preparing and introducing legislation that we believe will help working families come out of this. One of the bills is myself and Senator Collette is the American Working Families Relief Act plan for frontline workers. So that is our healthcare workers, and I define essential workers as anybody who is working right now. We want to make sure that they have access to proper personal protective equipment, that they have access to testing, that they are safe when they are working to keep us safe, whether that be our first responders, whether that be, you know, making sure that we get our food, those grocery store workers. Or whether it's a bus driver who's making sure that we get to our job or get to the grocery store. So that's one of the things we're working on. Myself and Senator Swank are working on a bill for child care assistance because oftentimes these child care workers get forgotten that they are part of essential workforce. Our essential workers cannot be out there without proper child care for their children. So that is something that Senator Schwenk and I are working on. And we have a whole list of legislation that is crisis grants for our volunteer fire, safety for our grocery store workers, payment of contract services for schools, online instruction for our kids, workers' compensation coverage for workers who do get sick, you know, stimulus checks, and protections for our small businesses that make sure that they get business interruption insurance. So there's a lot that we have proposed, and I look forward to hopefully working on some of that actually on the floor in the Senate soon.
Thank you, Senator Williams, and thank you so much, Representative McClinton. It's great to hear that y'all are fighting for working families in Harrisburg and that you're fighting for everything from personal protective equipment to childcare and more. And I'm sure that those fights have a lot going on at this time, and I'm sure that we can expand on them a little more. So let's dig into that and take some live questions from our audience. I believe, Ivan, that we have our first live question from Stephanie. Ivan?
Great. This is Rep. Inamorato. We have a question from Stephanie from Dawson County, and she's talking about something that I am very passionate about. She asks, a lot of people who are getting supplies from food stamps and can't use these for delivery, how can we use them? Stephanie, you're absolutely right. We do not have our EBT program set up to accept food stamps, and we know that this is extremely important because often vulnerable community members are folks who are homebound and can't even get to the store, either because public transportation has been decreased or, you know, maybe they're immunocompromised and can't leave their home. So myself and a few dozen legislators just wrote a letter to our Secretary of Department of Human Services, Secretary Miller, asking for the state to submit a waiver so that they can participate in a federal pilot program to be able to accept EBT cards online. It is a federal program. We do need to submit that waiver to that level of government. So it's very important for you to call the person who represents you and ask them to encourage the secretary to pursue that. And we also had more than three dozen organizations across the Commonwealth also sign a letter in support of Pennsylvania participating in that program. So thank you so much for that question.
Thank you, Representative Morato, and thank you, Stephanie. I believe our next question is from Josephine from East Stroudsburg. Josephine, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. You're live. Go ahead.
Okay. I have questions regarding the unemployment additional $600 stimulus. I am extremely grateful for it, first of all. Sadly to say, I am one of the thousands of people who it actually increases my income. I've never made this much money. I worked at ESU for Aramark in their food service department, making $12 an hour. And with the additional $600, that puts me closer to $20 an hour. With that, is that going to increase my rent for housing? And is it going to diminish my food stamps? How does that $600 affect me in that way?
Great. So thank you for your question, Josephine. And I believe we have Senator Schwenk on the line to answer. Senator Schwenk?
Yes. Hello, Josephine. Thanks for that question. It's a good one and one that we as legislators have thought about, that people are going to find themselves with this extra money, which is great, but then they'll find out that they may lose some of the benefits that they've received, like Section 8 housing, or for some folks that are getting a property tax and rent rebate or getting prescription drug help, and even the food stamp issue. So I have introduced legislation that will make sure that this money will not be counted as income in terms of, you know, the benefits that you receive. In terms of the food stamps, however, I believe that already has been adjusted, so that should not be impacted. If you get extra, you will be getting extra dollars for food stamps. That was just released today. And that should also not change your income level so that you still receive the benefits that you're already getting. But we do have to do something legislatively, state programs, to make sure that these benefits that you're receiving are not counted as income.
Great. Thank you so much, Senator Schwenk. I believe our next live question is coming up from Fatima in Huntington County. Fatima, are you on the line?
Yes. I would like to first, on behalf of the Pennsylvanian, thank you so much for having this this conference. It helps us with our fear. It helps us to understand more what's going on, and it helps us to be able to live better. I also want to ask you, is there anything that we can do? We are, as Pennsylvanians, we are a community interest, and we have the love of our community and our state. But what I'd like to know, with all of us trying to make masks and things like this for our neighbors, what would you like us to do for you?
Great. Thank you so much for your question, Fatima. Brett McClinton, are you able to speak to the question?
Absolutely. Fatima, thank you for calling and participating tonight. So it is very challenging, first of all, to isolate. I mean, I don't know how many of us haven't wished for a four-day weekend or something like that, but now that we have to stay home, it's a challenge. But in addition to isolating, there is something that you can do. I'll start with checking in on the seniors in your family, in your neighborhood, in your organizations. Maybe you're in a faith-based group, or maybe you're in some other group. People that are isolating alone are having a harder time, so checking in on them, just calling to say hello. And then for your neighbors, I know some of my neighbors were going to work every day a few weeks ago, but now I've noticed their cars are home. So I'm asking my neighbors, you know, do you need food? Is everything okay? You have groceries? I think this is the time where, as Pennsylvanians, our community can really shine through, because we're checking in on each other and making sure that if there are needs, even if we don't have the answers as regular neighbors, you can call your state rep, your state senator, and so many others, because we get a lot of resources. Every day the information's updated. So contact our offices and let us know if we can help a neighbor on your behalf.
Great. Thank you, Rep. McClinton. And thanks for the question, Fatima, and for the kind words. I know that in this time it's important that we all have compassion for each other. And I believe that we're going to our next live question from Wilma in Erie. Wilma, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. My question was, how do I get tested? I'm a healthcare worker for homebound people that hire an agency in instead of going into a nursing home. And right now, I don't know if I've had it or if I have it, or because I have some symptoms. And I don't want to make the elderly people sick. I'm elderly myself, and I just would like to know, you know, how do I go about that? And my work says they don't have gloves for us, but Trump says they are, and they say Trump's a liar. What? How do we get gloves?
Yes.
Matt.
Wilma, thank you for calling and asking that question. There was a lot in that question. And, yes, so the symptoms, common symptoms are fever, tiredness, dry cough. Other people may experience some aches and pains, nasal congestion. If you're experiencing symptoms, the first step is to call your primary care provider and talk to them. We are allowing some telemedicine for that, so you can contact your personal care provider and go through that. If the symptoms get worse, you know, please call your EMS, your 911, and let them know that you are having these symptoms and then you have been you believe you may have been exposed to coronavirus. Unfortunately, we don't have the number of tests that we should still. You know, we are testing people that are symptomatic, and we are testing people that have exposure, but we're not able to do the widespread testing that I believe that you and your other frontline healthcare workers need to make sure that not only are you safe and that you're not taking this home to your family, but you're not infecting the people that you are taking care of. That is, you know, testing is very important, and the personal protective equipment, the gloves, the masks, we are still running short on those. If your employer is not providing them, I suggest that you reach out to your legislator and report that and see if they can elevate that to the Department of Health to make sure that resources are allocated to your workplace. But unfortunately and sadly, that is a common complaint and something that we desperately need to get in under control in the state of Pennsylvania and, frankly, across the country.
Thank you so much, Senator Williams, and thank you, Wilma, for being on the line tonight. By the way, we have over 15,000 Pennsylvanians on the line with us tonight. Stick with us. We have a lot more questions that we want to get through, and we definitely want to hear from you. Thanks again for everybody who's asked a question so far, and thanks so much to our legislators for joining us and for providing such important information. I believe that we have Liz next on the line. Liz, there?
Hi, my name's Liz, and I'm calling from Munhall, which is in Allegheny County. And I have two questions, real quick ones. I have not received my stimulus check in the bank, yet mostly all my friends have. And I think that it might have something to do with that I haven't filed income tax for several years. Could that be the reason?
Thank you for your question, Liz. Rep. Minamorato, do you want to speak to this?
Hi, Liz. Thank you so much for your question. I know a lot of our neighbors are waiting patiently for their checks to arrive. Now, because that's administered by the IRS at a federal level, what our office typically does since we're at the state level is we work closely with our I have two congressmen who I work with closely to get answers to questions like that. I'm just going to ask you a quick question back. Have you tried the Get My Payment button that's on the IRS website?
I'm on Social Security, though.
Okay. So this is, and just to prevent asking some personal questions with 15,000 people on the line, what I would recommend doing is we can gather your information and be in contact to ensure that we can make sure that you get access to the payment that you deserve and that you, I'm sure, like many others, need.
And thank you, Rep. Amorato and Liz. We have your phone number here, and if you leave a voicemail afterwards with your contact information, we can have a representative from your area get in contact with you. Also, as far as we understand it, at 6, if you are a Social Security insurance recipient, then you should automatically get the payment sooner rather than later. So thanks so much for our live questions. We got another question, actually, off of social media. And I think that this is pretty timely given all that's going on and all that has happened over the last few months regarding our democracy and voting rights. And so I would like to ask Senator Schwenk, are there any updates on voting and census here in PA that our residents should know about?
That's a really good question because, yes, there certainly are some changes. I hope everybody on this call, all 15,000 of you, know that our primary in Pennsylvania has been moved to June 2nd. The date was April 28th, but now it is June 2nd. So that changes a lot of deadlines for us. One of the things that a lot of people, including the governor, are encouraging people to do, and could also be your county election directors are urging you to do this too, is to apply for a mail-in ballot. That is something that's new for Pennsylvania as a result of legislation that we passed, Act 77. You can now request a mail-in ballot and send it back in. You don't have to have a reason for that. If you always used an absentee ballot, you should still use that one because there are specific reasons for that. But if you would like to and you're concerned about getting to the polls, and, you know, we have some concerns about that as well because a lot of polling places are not able to be fully staffed. So it may very well be that there could be long lines and, you know, it may be that we're still kind of socially distancing ourselves when we get to June 2nd. So if, you know, you can go to votespa.com and you can apply for a mail-in ballot if you would like, and that is accepted through Tuesday, May 26th. So you can apply for that. And you can actually return it the day of the election. You have up until the day of election, but what I suggest you do is just apply for it, get it, fill it out so you don't lose it in your stack of papers, and get that in, and then you've got your civic duty done in terms of voting for the primary. If you're not registered to vote, the last day to register to vote is May the 18th. So if you've got to change your registration or you've moved, something of that nature, and you need to re-register, May 18th is the last date to do that. So I urge you to go to votespa.com because there's a lot of information on there. It's the state website on elections, and I think you'll find a lot. You'll find a lot of good info there.
Thank you so much, Senator Schwenk, for that. And again, that's votespa.com. And you should be able to find all the information you need there. So our next question is from Margaret. I'm sorry, from Mary Beth. Pardon me, from Pittsburgh. Mary Beth, are you there?
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering what the legislature is going to do to make sure that public schools stay funded and to help school districts get through this difficult economic time.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Yes, we have a lot of work to do on that front. Pennsylvania, before this pandemic happened, Pennsylvania was the most inequitably funded education system in the country. And so this pandemic has unfortunately further exacerbated those inequities where poorer districts, more rural districts are struggling to provide their students with instruction online because they don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the broadband, they don't have access to those sorts of things. And there is a little bit of a misconception that somehow the school districts are saving money by being home right now, but they still have the same carrying costs. They still have the buildings to take care of, and the staff is still working very hard. Those educators are, you know, at home, you know, with their own kids, trying to make sure that their own kids get education, but, you know, going over and above and beyond trying to make sure that their students in all their classrooms are getting the resources they need and the support they need to get the education that they deserve. So our legislature is going to have a lot of work to do to make sure that we increase the funding coming from the state level so that our local municipalities and our local school districts don't suffer and they can get recouped for increased costs that they had to do. I know some of the, my school districts, you know, spent money buying laptops and Chromebooks for students, that cost is going to have to be reimbursed for next year. And they're going to need, these students are going to need additional support to help catch them up on the time that they lost. So we have a lot of work to do. I serve on the education committee. I'm proud to serve on it, and I'm going to be working on it very hard.
Thank you so much, Senator Williams. Very timely question. And as folks probably have seen, public schools are closed indefinitely through the rest of the year, and there was actually a bill passed in Harrisburg to waive the mandated number of days for students and teachers. So thanks to legislators for working hard on that. I believe we have our next question from Ed from Upper Darby. Ed, are you there?
Hi, this is Ed in Upper Darby. My question should be easy, but I think it's going to be one of those difficult ones you're going to get. The governor says we should wear masks. All sorts of agencies say we should wear masks. And now, anytime I leave the house, I should wear a mask. When I get out of bed in the morning, I should put on a mask. The problem is you can't find them. You can go to umpteen's hardware stores, to you name it, department stores, drug stores. You can't get them. In my case, I did find some on eBay, and I ordered them on eBay on a real American-looking site, and it turns out it was a Chinese site. That cost me $38. It's gone down a hole. So I tried again. Got another Chinese site. That cost me $45 going down a black hole. So I'm out quite a bit of money trying to find masks. I write to people, I write to legislators, I write to senators and congressmen. Nobody knows, but they can sit up on their high horses and bark out orders that I'm supposed to wear a damn mask. Does anybody have any suggestions on where I can find a mask, or can we get the legislature to maybe break down and supply some masks to the citizenry? End of question.
Great. Thank you so much, Ed. And it's a very timely question. And masks are certainly a necessary part of our lives right now. Rhett McClinton, do you want to speak to what the state is doing to make sure that we have equipment and masks for everyone?
Absolutely. Ed, thank you so much for calling. You're in Upper Darby. I'm in Copps Creek, so we're literally the invisible wall apart. It is a challenge right now to find masks, to find, disinfectant spray, hand sanitizer, all these things are being purchased at such a high volume, it's difficult to buy them. I'm so sorry you've been on some fake websites that are not providing you these products, but I just want to let everyone who's on the call know that Governor Wolf, if you go to his website, he has an explanation on how to make your own mask. And you might be like me, Ed, I am not a seamstress. I think I can cook pretty well, but I've never sewed anything. So there are ways you can use old T-shirts, maybe a scarf, a bandana. There are all sorts of things you can just use that you have around the house, a scarf you might have had for the winter, even though it didn't get too cold. You can use that to cover your nose and your mouth. That's the best thing, is to cover your face from anyone else's, anything they're doing, sneezing, coughing. And if you sneeze or cough, that it doesn't go anywhere beyond the mask. So I know I don't have any of the fancy masks that the professionals on the front line wear, but I have a few that neighbors made for me that I purchased for like $5. I saw a friend on Facebook who was advertising, and I just got it from them because I haven't been online to try to shop because you never know where you're buying. But hopefully that's some helpful information, Ed.
Thank you so much, Rep. McClinton, and thank you so much, Ed, for your question. I believe that we have another live question, and it's from Ms. Phoebe in Allentown. Ivan, would you mind pulling up Ms. Phoebe from Allentown? Ms. Phoebe, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have two questions. The first question is to the, I think it's the senator who has the welcoming committee for immigrants. And here in Allentown School District, we have 51 countries and 26 languages that our students speak, and there are 51 countries from where they are from. How do we become a part of that welcoming committee? The reason why I ask is because we have something new that started a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, the Newcomer Academy. We have Baby Newcomer, which is K through 6, and then the Newcomer, which is 7 through 12. And in these schools, there's two different schools. In these schools, we teach them in their language, but also we give them 2 hours of intense English. So, and like I said, we have a lot of countries here. How do we become a part of that welcoming committee?
Great. Thank you so much, Ms. Phoebe. Such a timely question. And what folks don't know is that Pennsylvania's immigrant population is growing and is making our economy stronger. And we actually have some great reps in Harrisburg working on that. Rep. Imrano, do you want to speak to your efforts?
Sure. Thank you so much, Nikki, and thank you, Ms. Phoebe, for your question and all the work that you're doing to make a really welcoming community. It's amazing to see the vibrancy that our diversity brings to spaces. One way that we want to celebrate that diversity and also make sure that those voices are expressed in Harrisburg is through our Welcoming Pennsylvania Caucus. Now, we just launched it last week, so it's very new, and we're figuring out what that looks like. We're working with a few stakeholder organizations, like Six, who's on this call, like PIC and Make the Road. And so these are organizations that are sending representatives to our meetings. Hopefully we will have more information about our next meeting when we're hosting it with external stakeholders. But, you know, I'd love to get your information and send you some of the things that we're working on. And I'd love to hear more about the work that you're doing on the ground to make your community more welcoming. And that's probably things that we could reflect in our priorities in Harrisburg. So we'll make sure that we connect after this call. So thank you.
And Ms. Phoebe, the community organizations that are working on this in Allentown in your area are, again, Make the Road Pennsylvania and CASA, which are two awesome organizations that work to coordinate immigrant justice and orientation efforts across the state, but particularly in the eastern part of the state in the Lehigh Valley. So thank you again for your question. I believe that we have Margaret next from State College. Margaret from State College, Ivan. Margaret,
hi.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. It took a little while for it to kick in. Hi. I have a bunch of Republican representatives with Corman and Benninghoff. And the rumblings are that a lot of the Republicans want things to reopen. I'm highly concerned with that, and I want to know what you guys are doing to try to keep us safe.
Great question, Margaret. Very timely, given the public discourse that we've had in Harrisburg during voting session over the last few weeks. Senator Schwenk, do you want to take this question?
I'd be happy to. Hello, Margaret, and thank you for this really important question. Quite honestly, what I think I hear more often is, when are we going to open up, and when can we get back to business? So I'm glad that you are, you know, taking a, I think, a bigger picture perspective in terms of, you know, how do we keep our community safe and make sure that if we don't open too soon, because if we do, we've been warned most certainly by health experts that we might be back in the same situation we're in now, where we'll have to shut down and, you know, face the economic losses that so many of us are facing right now. So the governor, I think, has taken a very measured approach to this. The governor and Secretary of the Department of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. And I believe even this evening that it's going to be announced that the governor is going to slowly phase certain parts of the state, regions of the state, where there are fewer cases of the COVID active, where there is adequate space in the hospitals to care, active, you know, enough space as well as staff to care for a possible influx of COVID-19 patients. So there are going to be a number of criteria that are going to be used to determine how to slowly open up certain aspects of business. You might know that already the governor has said that there, by May 8th, there'll be a possibility of construction opening up statewide. This is statewide. And that there'll be an opportunity to do online car sales. But some of the things that, you know, that most of us frequent quite often, like restaurants and, you know, retail stores, things of that nature, are still probably going to be operating under the same conditions that we are right now. Some of them will be more perhaps maybe offering curbside pickup or, you know, online ordering and curbside pickup. So I think the approach is slow and steady. Be careful that we don't go too fast and cause a huge spike in the number of cases and ultimately in more fatalities due to the COVID. This is something we've never been through before, right? And so, you know, we're kind of flying the plane while we're building it, but I've got to give a lot of credit to our state leaders, to the governor and his team for trying to take an approach that is safe and sound. And I hope that you appreciate that perspective, but stay tuned. Some changes will be coming.
Great. Thank you so much, Senator Schwenk, and thank you so much, Margaret, for your timely question. I believe that we have Judy from Pine Township next. Judy, you're on live.
Hi, this is Judy from Pine Township. I'm a constituent of Senator Lindsey Williams. I am a small business owner, and I guess my question is kind of similar to the person who just went. But I had heard that we were, you know, going to be starting to open up small businesses again. And I, while I would love for my business to be functioning again, I'm very concerned about my ability to get protective supplies for my staff, for my customers. Right now, I can't even buy gloves, masks, or hand sanitizer. And there's really no guidance for how we can open and be safe. And without access to all of this essential protective gear, I really don't see how we can open. So I'm very concerned that we might be opening too soon. And I'm also concerned about what type of instruction we're going to get and what type of access to supplies we'll have. Like, I've been trying to order gloves and hand sanitizer, and I can't even buy them anywhere online.
Yes. Hi, Judy. Good to hear your voice. Yes, I am equally very concerned about this, because if we don't do this thoughtfully and slowly and with these things in place, we're going to be back where we started and having a surge in cases that overwhelms our healthcare system. So one of the resources that I can direct you to is a business-to-business interchange directory for acquiring PPE that the DCED, the Department of Community and Economic Development, created. It's on their website, dced.pa.gov. That may be some help in terms of, you know, cloth masks. Senator Inamorato pointed out that there was a Post-Gazette article with local and Pennsylvania-based people selling cloth-based masks. That might be a place for you to go. I know that some of our local distilleries have switched over to making hand sanitizer, and there are some businesses that are trying to change their production lines to get this personal protective equipment up and going. And thank you for, like, trying so hard to make sure that you have this in place. What I've heard from the governor's office is this will be a very slow reopening, because, quite honestly, we are not where we need to be in terms of personal protective equipment and testing. So I know it's frustrating, but that is one place to look. And as always, feel free to reach out to our office, and we can hopefully help you along the line as we get closer to reopening safely.
Thank you so much, Senator Williams, and thank you, Judy, for lifting up that question. There was also recently a really good article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about how to make your own personal protective equipment. And while I wish that we did not have to make our own personal protective equipment or homemade masks, there is a resource on how to do that in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in the news and health section if you want to try to find that. Also, I believe we have our next live question from Ollie in Philadelphia. Ollie, are you available?
Hello.
Are you with us? Hi.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Ollie, and I'm calling for two questions. One, I'm a retired senior, and I'm wondering if I'm going to receive the stimulus check, and if I have to file a special form, because I have not filed income tax in about 6 years.
Thank you for the question. Brett McClinton, are you familiar with this stimulus check question?
Yes. So the IRS has been very straightforward through this process, Ollie. Unlike the rest of us who are filing taxes every year, Social Security income recipients do not have to fill out any forms. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. You don't have to now file your taxes from last year. You will automatically receive a stimulus check. No matter whether you get Social Security and a pension, you will get it automatically. So you don't have to worry about that at all.
Great. Thank you. Ollie, did you have a second question? Oh, looks like we lost Ollie. But her second question was, where is there a food bank in southwestern Philadelphia?
Yes. So food banks – thank you, Nikki. Excuse me. Food banks are in Southwest Philly. I just want to tell Ollie, if you're still listening, you can call my office. The number is 215-748-6712. And if you have your pen, but it is a bit of information, the food banks in Southwest Philly include Christian Compassion. So they'll be giving out food again tomorrow on Thursday, 10 a.m. until noon. Giving Heart Ministries at 65th in Elmwood. They'll be giving out food tomorrow, Thursday, from 10 a.m. until noon. But the easiest thing to do is just call my office. It's 215-748-6712. And because you're a senior, you can give me your address, and the city will deliver groceries to you so that you don't have to go and wait in line.
Great. Thank you, Rhett McClinton, and thanks, Ollie, for the question. Real quick, I want to just give folks an opportunity to participate a little bit more here. We've gotten a lot of information tonight about Social Security, stimulus checks, food banks, education, taking care of our workers. And so on that note, I would definitely love to hear if any of you would like to be followed up by a community organization working toward, you know, worker protections and equity-based response to the coronavirus crisis. We want to give you the chance to opt into that. And so we're going to ask you a polling question. And to participate in this polling question, all you have to do is press 1 or 2 on your phone keypad. So the polling question is, do you want a community organization to follow up with you after this telephone town hall with more information? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. Again, the question is, do you want a community organization working on an equity-based response to the coronavirus crisis to follow up with you after this telephone town hall with more information? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. All right, we see you've got a lot of folks participating here. But in the meantime, we'll leave that poll open for y'all. Again, press 1 if you want more information, press 2 if you don't. We're going to take another live question, a couple more right before we wrap up. I believe that we have Dan from Pittsburgh. Oops, looks like Dan left the call. So, Rep. Inmarato, I actually have another question that came in live from social media. Maybe you want to say a little bit about this. Can you tell us about the Working Families Relief Act and the efforts of the caucuses in Harrisburg to fight for the Working Families Relief Act? Rep. Inmarato?
Yes, thank you, Nikki. And thanks to whoever asked that. So the Working Families Relief Act is an example of, I would say, a community-led agenda. It is a group of working people, equity-based community organizations, unions, people who are centered around a vision of making sure that our COVID response is rooted in what's happening to our families and not what the corporations are demanding of us. So it is a comprehensive agenda that includes everything from making sure that our frontline workers are protected, like Senator Williams spoke to earlier, to making sure that we have enough resources to provide adequate health care and other basic necessities that people are going to need during this time so that they can stay safe and healthy. So as we're working in Harrisburg, there are a lot of folks, a lot of my colleagues, who are working on taking that agenda and translating it into legislation that we can hopefully put forth if our leadership decides to bring that up for a debate. But, you know, it's something that has made a big impact on the Democratic caucus and something that we are using as a template to design legislation around.
Thank you so much, Rep. Inmarato, for talking about that. And again, that's the Working Families Relief Act. And so if you all are interested on a coordinated effort to put working families first in Harrisburg, you can look up the Working Families Relief Act. So I want to just also prompt one more time, if you want follow-up from a community organization on the coronavirus response here in Pennsylvania and how you can get more information, please press 1 for yes to get more information, and please press 2 for no. We're coming up to the end of our call, and I think we have just one more question. And I think that this is a pretty timely question, and we've heard a little bit about it throughout the call tonight. But I want to ask Senator Schwenk or Senator Williams or both of you, is there anything else that folks should know about the governor's stay-at-home order at this time? Senator Schwenk?
Well, yes. He is going to be, adjusting it and tailoring it to specific regions within the Commonwealth that may not be experiencing as many cases, and as a result of doing that, some of those regions may see some loosening of some of the restrictions that are in place right now. But for many of us, and particularly in the area that I represent, we still have a relatively high caseload, and we need to continue to double down on the social distancing and some of the other guidelines. And another thing that I think that he has started to do is to look at, and I'm glad, he's starting to look at the impact of COVID-19 on specific communities. One thing that has been recognized is the fact that minority populations, low-income populations, have been particularly hard hit by COVID-19 for a number of reasons, primarily poverty, lack of resources, housing, and also the fact that these are often the folks that are essential frontline workers, the grocery store people, the people that are, you know, working as clerks in some of our essential businesses, and, you know, a whole host of other jobs that we're just suddenly realizing how important they are to our lives. And I'm glad that he is taking a look at that. And I think that's something we have to press on to see, to make sure that people are, you know, that those that are most impacted are receiving the services that they must have.
Great. Thank you, Senator Schwenk. And thank you to everybody for participating in the call tonight. We're going to go ahead and close our poll. We still have over 15,000 Pennsylvanians on the line. Thanks so much for sticking with us. I also feel like we've heard some great information from our members tonight, from Senator Schwenk, from Senator Williams, from Rep. Inamorato, and from Rep. McClinton. And I want all of you on the line to know how to get in touch with these folks after this call. So I want to give them a chance now to just say how you can do that and to give any final follow-up information on, for example, session and when that's happening over the next few weeks and any other major announcements that folks on the line should know about. So why don't we just go ahead and start with Senator Lindsey Williams.
Thank you, Nikki, and thank you all to for participating in this town hall. So you can get in touch with me. My website is senatorlindseywilliams.com, and Lindsey is L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. I'm also on Facebook. If you look up Senator Lindsey Williams, we are constantly posting information there that is updates from the governor, from the federal government, from our local agencies, food banks, and we can really engage with you there. You can also call us at 412-364-0469. I look forward to, you know, working on these issues, specifically protections for workers as we move forward. But just one little final shout out to make sure you fill out your census at 2020census.gov, because that will help decide what federal resources get directed to our state over the next 10 years. And it's really important that we have our communities have that funding. So check out 2020census.gov, and if you need any help, go to our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Williams. Senator Schwenk, how do folks listening on the line get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is senatorschwank.com. They can call my office, 610-929-2151. I'm on Facebook under Senator Judy Schwenk, and on Twitter as well. And, you know, we certainly want to be as responsive to everybody that we can be.
Thank you, Senator Schwenk. And I believe we have some announcements on some additional info coming out tonight from our representatives in the House. Representative McClinton.
So I want to thank everybody for participating and calling. I know there were still several questions unanswered. And for anyone who cares to get in touch with me, if you're in Southwest Philly or in Lower Delaware County or even in the region, know that I'm working with your local elected official and state rep. My website is pahouse.com /McClinton. So it's M-C Clinton. C-L-I-N-T-O-N. If you use Facebook, please like my page. It's Rep. McClinton on Twitter. It's also Rep. McClinton. There is so much information, and it is always coming quickly, but we update it. There's an update on my website every single day. I want to remind everybody that tonight, Governor Wolf, just in a few minutes, that's why we're logging off shortly, he's making an update for how the rollout will be on May the 8th. His update is tonight at 7 o'clock. You can watch on your major news channel or you can go to Governor Wolf's website and get on there so that you can see his announcement tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. He's talking about reopening Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. McClinton. And Rep. Inamorato, how can folks get in touch with you?
Oh, my gosh. We love to be contacted. So our website is repinamorato.com. If that is too many letters and vowels for you, you can also visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under Rep. Inamorato as well. You can also give us a call at 412-781-2750. And we're here to help. That's what your state elected officials are here for. They're here to listen, and they're here to connect you with resources. And one of the things I just want to make sure that we drive home is votespa.com. That's where you can request your mail-in ballot. With all the uncertainty that's going on during this crisis, we want to make sure that we can still conduct a fair and accessible election. So again, votespa.com, request your mail-in ballot, make sure that it gets to you, that you fill it out, and you still get to actively participate in our democracy, because it's so important for all of us to have our voices heard during this time. And thank you for Six for hosting this evening. We really appreciate you bringing us all together.
Great. Thank you so much, everybody, and thanks, Rep. Inamorato. Again, this is Nikki from the State Innovation Exchange, and I just want to say thank you a final time to everybody on the line for opting in and answering your phone tonight, for asking questions and participating in this process. This is more important than ever. If you didn't get to ask a question, you still have the opportunity to have your information listed in the voicemail. So if you leave a voicemail after we hang up, you'll have the chance to do that. And you can actually leave your contact information and your question, whether it's for a specific representative who was on the call tonight or just in general, and we'll actually have a quick out of path that we can forward on to the representatives on the call so that they can get back in touch with you. Also, I just want to say thank you to the PA United members on the line for joining us. Thank you to the We the People members on the line for joining us tonight. And thank you to the PA Budget and Policy Center activists who are on the line tonight. We appreciate you and your partnership and for being here with us. And thank you to Telephone Town Hall Meeting for helping facilitate this call. So have a great night, everybody, and tune in to Governor Wolf's announcement on Facebook for more information on reopening the Pennsylvania economy. Thank you.